anyway, as we come to the communion table, we practice open communion. And I'd like to invite everybody that is a born-again believer to join us. Now, communion and baptism are the only two sacraments that Jesus told us to do. Because we partake of communion every month, it can become a ritual. And that's a problem. As the Israelites, they did their sacrifices and stuff like that. It became a ritual without the true meaning behind it. So this is the reason that Paul gave this warning to the Corinthians in Corinth. 1 Corinthians 12. No, that's the wrong. It's 1 Corinthians 11. I wrote down the wrong chapter. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 11, 26 to 29. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, whosoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner is guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment to himself. Without discerning the body means you just trade it. Oh, well, this is just something we do once a month. No, it's not. This is a holy celebration of the death of Christ. Not the life of Christ, but the death of Christ. That's what it says to do, is to do this in remembrance of my death. Now let's look at a little bit about his death. In Isaiah 52:14, it says, as many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the child, our children of mankind. You know, we see Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion, stuff like that there. And how Christ was inflicted with beatings. And the scripture says he would be unrecognizable as a human being. He was beaten so badly. It says in Isaiah 53:5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we were healed. It says there that he was pierced and he was crushed. But by whom was he crushed? We look at Isaiah 53:10a. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He was put to grief. God the Father was the one that crushed him. He laid all of the wrath that belonged to every born-again believer upon the back of Jesus Christ. He endured the penalty for every one of our sins. You know, I couldn't even imagine bearing the penalty for my own sins. But the sins of every believer? Wow. And the Father crushed him. Was it out of anger? No, it was out of wrath. Why? Because God is a righteous God. God cannot forgive sin. It says in the scripture, the penalty for sin is death. The penalty has to be paid. And this is why God the Father crushed Jesus. The holy celebration is not about what the terrible death Jesus went through. That's to let us know that there was a horrendous cost. But that was not why we celebrate the death of Christ. We look at John 19, 28 to 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, he said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. a jar of sour wine stood there, and they put it on his tongue, or a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch, and held it to his mouth. When Jesus received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. That "this is finished" was just like was on some of the bills during the Jewish time. Paid in full. It is finished. It's done. The price of redemption has been paid. That is what we're celebrating. Christ paid the price for every blood-washed Christian to reunite us with the Father and with the Son. That's why we celebrate his death, because it was the conclusion of his righteous life that led to that point in time that we could be reunited with God. So, as the ushers come forward, please. Christ did the work and paid the price for every born-again believer. So today, as we are celebrating his redemptive work, he's told us to do something. He's told us there again in 1 Corinthians 11:28-30, "For if any one of you drinks without discerning the body and eats and drinks judgment on himself, that is why many of you are weak and ill, and some of you have died. But if we judge ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world." This is speaking to all the Christians, that we are to look at our lives and repent, make it right with God. Not take this as just a ritual, but take it as a holy sacrament that God has commanded us to do. But we need to get right. So as the ushers are passing out the elements, what we need to do as individuals is anything that's in our life that is blocking our relationship with Jesus Christ, we need to repent of that. If there's unforgiveness in our heart, we need to repent of that. So take this time to bow in prayer, personal prayer, and repent of anything that needs to be to establish your relationship back into fullness. Ushers. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the life of Jesus. We thank you for his death and the completion of his work of salvation, that we can have a relationship with you, Father. We just thank you for that. We realize that there was nothing that we could do. There is nothing that we could do to redeem ourselves. The redemption comes through Jesus Christ and through your grace and mercy. We thank you for his body that was crushed. We thank you for his blood that was spilled, Father, that sealed the covenant, the new covenant that was written in his blood. And it washes us, cleanses us from all sin. We just thank you. You are worthy of all of our praise. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Take the bread. And as we take the cup, we remember this symbolizes the blood of Christ. Blood is the life. He gave his life for us and sealed the new covenant in his blood. Take the cup.